Well, there's a couple things to say. I need to dip back to the income statement briefly and ask one question and clarify one thing. Is there some reason why under development we budgeted some $40,000 for direct mail, since we're talking so much about development, and the station executed on basically less than half of that, and it looks like there was almost nothing done until halfway through the fiscal year? It seems to me that before we go paying $41,000 for development consultants, we need to sort of be doing the basics in terms of sending out mailings and doing sort of basic direct mail work. So that's a question about why that came in so dramatically under budget and what didn't we do that we were planning to do. Second thing is, Barbara, is there any way to get a current list of accounts payable?
Oh, yes, I do. I'm sorry.
Okay. That was question two, and I'm also hoping that at some point we'll get that $95,000 portion remaining on the Mania deductible on there, because we need to look at that in order to assess our financial position correctly. The other thing worth saying is that if you take a look at major donors in this statement, you'll see that $104,000 came in December from the San Jean's Trust, which was one major donor, sale of a house on Clayton Street, actually a couple of houses. And then $193,000 came in at the end of the year, August. So we're looking at about a $293,000 one-time donation that will not repeat. So we need to take that into account when we're looking at our numbers, because that $300,000 was a one-time. It's not going to recur. On this, I mean, I would have to go back to millions of spreadsheets to see if these numbers are accurate, and there were some mistakes, this second report, and there were some mistakes in the spreadsheets when I tried to input changes that came up. But briefly, it looks like the gist of the changes are $3,200 was added in for more personnel expenses, and that had to do with figuring out the right amount on the pension expense category.
By the way, there is
a
problem with the pension that we need to talk about.
Okay, we'll talk about it. But I'm saying that's where that came from. There was a significant, let me just explain. There was a significant reduction after I spoke to the national office in the projected health contributions, which was nice. We were able to submit a smaller number, and then there were some offsetting issues with the pension. The second thing that happened on administrative expense, the $599 change is just from putting in the columns 12 months when you spread it out, some of the numbers slide, and $600 in administrative expenses is pretty minor. Programming expenses, it went into the PNB again at $5,000 less, and that had to do with assessing the accurate price for AP without Reuters. The IGM had suggested, as an expense cut, getting rid of Reuters and just keeping IP and just keeping AP, and we had guesstimated it as half the expense. It turned out that wasn't quite right. They don't cost the same. So that was just an accuracy change. And in development, the premiums were adjusted slightly because they are a proportion of listener revenue. So when listener revenue changes, premium costs change. And the $140,000 after we did, because it's a percentage reduction, turned out to be $146,000. So those costs went up a bit. So primarily the change in your surplus has to do with the correct calculation of your premium costs, which are based on a percentage of your listener revenue.
Okay. Well, I see that you have reasons for the things that happened, Tracy, but I guess our question is, why was there no consultation with at least the IGM, if not the business manager, about this? Because some of the things that you describe, actually, I don't think they were done correctly. And the problem I wanted to address about the pension is that in the Finance Committee meetings and in the minutes from those meetings, the wrong account number is being used and the wrong account is being corrected.
That's why it was flipped between the NFC and the PNB numbers, if you look
at that. First of all, that was not a reduction or change in the budget that you made. That was given by our business manager because of her discovery of how the template was affecting the total, and it was the 403B. It was not the other pension.
That's why it's flipped.
Tracy, please hold it until Barbara's done talking.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
What do you mean that was why it was flipped?
If you look at account 6102 and 6103, you'll see NFC modified 9.5. The figures are 25,000 and 15,000. And as you pointed out correctly, the adjustment needed to be made to the other account. So when it was submitted to the PNB, well, let's do this. When it was at the NFC, 6102 was at $25,000 and 6103 was at $15,000. You pointed out that the adjustment, which we agreed on during the NFC, was in the wrong account, and that was correct. So it was submitted to the PNB with $15,000 in 6102 and $25,000 in 6103.
Should have been no correction to 6102. That is not where there was a problem at all.
Okay. What you pointed out was that the correction was made to the wrong account, so it was
okay.
Correct.
I don't think this cross conversation helps us at all. Let me ask if anybody else wants to ask any questions or make any comments about the treasurer's report. Do I have any other? Oh, Sharam, you're on the list. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Get a microphone, please.
Thank you, Barbara, for the report. Tracy touched upon this one, actually, on the major donors, the donations. Actually, it's an interesting, if it is a trend.
Which report are you looking at?
I'm looking at the income statement. Okay. And I'm looking at item row 9. And also broken down on the second page, I guess, under 46 and 47.
Right.
So I'm just curious to know, I mean, I've always said that this could be a good source of, if we had a real development program, this is the way to go to major donors and try to collect more donations from them. Offline, I mean, actually off air. So I'm just curious, was this sort of a one-person donation? Was it more than one person? This, $193,000. Okay. So it was just a one-time thing. Okay.
Well, there were two of them. And,
right.
One was in November and one was in August.
Right. I'm talking about the August one, actually. Yeah. So the other thing, and refresh my memory on this one. When you're talking about community event expenses, that does include the crafts fair expenses, right?
The summary is both, but there is a breakdown.
I didn't see crafts fair expenses. I see their income.
Well,
I don't see any.
Let's see. Under. It's at the very end,
okay.
Usually.
Page 7, okay. All right.
Yeah, lines. 175 and 176.
Okay. So community events expenses doesn't include the crafts fair expenses, according.
Well, the total line is okay. The same as on the summary page, the totals of those two.
Okay, 25 is the total.
178.
On page, on income statement page, one
is
number 25.
178 is the same as line 25 on the front, first page.
So that does include both?
Yes.
That's why, for instance, in October, November, December, the expenses are much higher because of the crowd. Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
Did people understand that the 193 was a bequest? That, and I don't know if your question got answered, Trump. What happened was that many years ago, a woman named Ethel Sanjeans left a portion of her estate to KPFA in her will. And so she died. A piece of property was sold, and I think we got 1/6 of it, something like that.
It wasn't the whole 193. That's made up.
Yeah. Okay, but But anyway, there was a bequest which was very substantial that came in, and because we haven't had a development director, there's not been any. A number of bequests were made, and there are wills out there, so there may be additional money coming in, but no one has actually keeping very good track of those wills or where they are, and someone's working on them now, and no one is making the effort to find other people to leave property or money to KPFA in their wills because we don't have a development director. Okay.
Sorry, this might be just a nit, line 165. It says premiums from other vendors. Is that an expense when it's from? I mean, it should.
Yes, that means purchasing premiums from others than PRA.
All right, are we done? Thank you, Mark.
Well, no, I have one other thing. Okay. The bank balance as of yesterday was $244,000, and the accounts payable ready to be paid was $28,632. I'm going to give you an email after I talk to. I don't know what it is.
Aki.
Well, I just wanted to address something that Dan Siegel said about what Tracy was doing with the financial oversight. I think that, you know, over the past 10 years, as you know, that we got into the financial problem because there was no oversight by the board over the, you know, local control. And that's how we got the crisis in 2008. I think that the fact that somebody actually pays attention to the budget is a very important thing. I don't know any other person on this board who actually pays attention that much, except for the treasurer and the board members on the whole, I could see, do not pay that much close attention. I've been on this board for 6 years. I can tell you that. So I just wanted to put that on the record.
Anybody else? I hope we can end this discussion soon. Tracy.
Well, I don't know if it really matters, but since Aki brought it up, or I guess since Dan brought it up would be the proper term, the motion on the Finance Committee to slightly downward adjust KPFA's original revenue projections, which, to be clear, basically tripled the amount of major donations that were expected, was offered by Bill Crozier, who's a KPFT representative from Texas, and I believe it passed the Finance Committee by something like 9-3. So the idea that my single solitary vote made any difference at all is really not true, and an extremely unfair accusation, and all of that is on the stream. The reason that the National Finance Committee was concerned, and it is in fact their job not to present budgets to the PNB that will result in $500,000 deficits if possible, was that, you know, people have long memories. And in 2009 and 2010, KPFA projected listener revenue amounts and then fell short of them by almost $400,000 and then by almost $600,000. And they lost $1.15 million in 2 years. That was not a point of pride for the National Finance Committee. So in all honesty, you know, we have a charge not to present budgets that are going to end up with those kinds of results if we can manage it. We made revenue adjustments to KPFK. We made small ones to KPFT in Texas. We made some fairly significant ones to WBAI in New York. I think the only budget that we did not make revenue reductions to was WPFW, Washington, D.C., and it's possible that we should have, but they're in such bad shape that we hope they could come up with the modest projections that they've made because they have to move. But I don't think in any way KPFA was singled out. The changes made to the KPFK budget from Los Angeles were actually far more drastic. And again, this has to do with accurate revenue projections coming in. In this case, you know, it would be nice to think that Goalbusters is going to triple our donations in a year, but I'm not sure that you can go to the bank on that. And it was the assessment of the Finance Committee, and frankly, it was the assessment of Goalbusters as well, that you really can't go to the bank on that. You know, they said, don't do that. And we were inclined to agree, and the full PNB, they agreed as well.
Well, you've been just talking about what happened in the Finance Committee, and I think there is significant question about this third set of changes, which happened between the time that the Finance Committee made its motion and the time that you reported to the PNB.
Can we move
okay.
on?
And okay.
We're having this crosstalk.
Yes.
Useless.
Okay, okay. Anybody else, please? Let's. Okay, go ahead, Dan. One. Give Dan a microphone.
I'll be brief. You know, Aki, I think it's right that people pay attention to the budget, and I think it's right that people point out shortcomings. What I think, though, what we see here are just guesses. I mean, if Bill Crozier made a motion from Houston that our revenue projection from listener support was $100,000 too high and it should be reduced by $100,000, I mean, how could he possibly have any information that would support that? And that's my point. I mean, if someone says, well, you know, you're making a projection that is 50 or 30 or 25% over what you've done the last 3 years, and therefore that's a bad projection, figure it out. But some of these numbers, just like, they just pull them out of the air, in my view. There is no objective basis for doing it, and certainly not a basis for overruling our staff, which I think is very careful about it.
Okay.
And that's my point.
Okay. I'm sorry, Tracy.
Point of order, damn it.
Tracy, you don't need to answer that. You have spoken, you have already spoken three times on this matter. I'm sorry. I really am anxious to move on. There.
Point of order.
Okay. Okay. Please. 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 Tracy. Hold on. I'm going to call on two people who have not spoken yet in this discussion, and then I'm going to ask the board whether to allow you to speak for a fourth time in this conversation. It's up to the board. Pardon me. Let's see. I saw two hands. Jack and then Matthew. Yeah.
I want to suggest...
Quiet. Much softer.
I want to suggest that the action of the National Finance Committee in arbitrarily cutting the budget of listener support by substantial sums of money has a political agenda associated with it. That political agenda has to do with a projection of the reduction of the capacity of KPFA to have paid professional staff or to have paid professional staff on its staff. That is a political agenda having to do with the dispute as to whether or not KPFA should be staffed primarily by unpaid volunteers. That's an injection of the politics and preferences of the National Finance Committee into the budgetary process of KPFA. That is what the issue is about politically. It has nothing to do with anything else. And I want to make that point explicitly, and I want to go on record as condemning the Pacifica National Finance Committee for interfering in that dispute within KPFA.
Okay, so I have Matthew, and so much for wanting to end this discussion. Andrea, and then Aki, who will be speaking for the second time. Cynthia, who will be speaking for the first time. Go ahead, Matthew.
Well, I think the thing that most disturbed me from what I heard from Barbara was not that Tracy had a different opinion or somebody else had a different opinion, but that there was no consultation. I mean, the big thing is we have a process here. We all go through the process. We have the local people drawing up the budget, and all of a sudden the budget goes to the national office. Changes are made without any kind of consultation by our own representatives who, you know, introduce something. That is simply a very, very bad way to work. And what it really does is it denigrates, again, which is what's happening all the time, our own self-government, in that we are being ignored. Everything this board does is being ignored by the national, by the PMB, and it's really bad when it's being ignored by one of our own members.
Okay, I'm going to call on Andrea, then Cynthia, then Aki.
Well, I mean, part of me is sympathetic to that argument that you make, but I think there's also a world of practical realities, which are that, A, as far as I can tell, the bylaws empower the national to make those changes. And so it sounds like the beef on some level is with the distribution of power between the national and the local. I also realize that as we're in this fund drive and we're talking about a projected, 20% shortfall in the projections, I think it's important to be conservative in our estimates. And I feel that did not happen. And I agree with Mel. I think that there are political reasons why those projections are more or less generous. And I think there have been political agendas attached to those estimates. You know, I tend to be conservative in that regard, that I think we should really keep our guesstimates of what's coming in the future low and be pleasantly surprised at the end. And I don't think that happened in this case.
Cynthia.
I just want to, as someone who's been on the board 2 years, there's plenty of political agendas to go around. And yes, things ultimately do become somewhat political, but I am encouraged that I'm grateful for this NFC that actually looks at some of these things so that Pacifica and KPFA survive. I'm still grateful we've had responsible people who take exception to this. And I'm encouraged that maybe we have some major donors. And the role of our LSB should be to think about some of these things and not all of this personal political agenda, spending so much money on a useless recall. I mean, we all know that. So that's all I wanted to say. Just that I'm grateful for a lot of the NFC work and that there are people who are paying attention to our budget.
Aki. I just want to address what Jack was saying about political agendas, about some people wanting all volunteer things and some people wanting all, professionals. That's not the issue at Pacifica. Pacifica is not geared to that kind of either or. What Pacifica is that we can support the number of paid programming staff that reflects what our, listenership is. It's one-to-one, and long as it stays about even over a 10-year span, that's what we should aim for. And that's all we're trying to do. No political agenda. We just have to be sane about what you can spend.
Thank you. Okay, that completes the speakers list. Tracy has asked for permission to speak. Our rules are that under Robert's Rules of Order, someone may address the board two times on any one topic. I believe she spoke three times already. And so I have to ask the permission of the board to allow her to speak again.
Yeah, and there is a thing called a personal point of privilege when you've been singled out by name, which I have been.
All right, you wish to speak under personal privilege?
I believe I do.
All right, please, go ahead.
Okay. With the idea that the NFC didn't consult, I mean, Barbara knows this. I'm not sure that the rest of you do. Andrew Phillips, Maria Negrete were on the NFC calls for approximately 6 hours on two different occasions. We were also joined for more than 2 hours by Philip Acegueda and even Roger Marquis. So lots of people were consulted and went through this process. In addition, the LSB treasurer is your representative on the National Finance Committee. That's what you put her there for. I want to be clear that when Bill Crozier, who put forward the motion, and several others, and it would be fair to say this was at least four or five different people on the Finance Committee from different stations, you know, talked very specifically about those revenue projections and where they were coming from, and they asked questions because they weren't really seeing it reflected in the actuals from previous years. And I want to quote what your IGM and your business manager said, which was that they essentially felt that these numbers were a wish, that they were a guess, that nobody can really tell how much money is going to come in, that they wanted to look on the bright side, that they hoped that things would go well. This is what they said. So, and we too at the NFC, you know, hope and pray and wish that that things go well. But a pretty basic premise of budgeting, and Brian Edwards-Tieker will tell you this the same as I will, is, you know, has to be more than that in order to spend the money, and I have quotes from him to that effect. And what we're talking about here is the money in a budget that we can spend, not the extra money that we hope that we get if things go well. But again, that was the feedback that was given to the NFC by your management, by your business manager, and that is largely the reason that the motion passed, and it passed quite easily. Your listener revenue this year at the end of August was $2.4 million. The fund drive at the end of September was at about 100, 120. So it actually looks like your actuals for 2012 are going to come in quite similar to what the NFC projected for 2013. Of course, one hopes that it would go up, but again, your revenues aren't being cut over what you're actually earning. Your revenues are being held pretty constant, as are your donations, and we'll see if upward growth manifests or not. The last budget that was, you know, approved by the KPFA LSB, some of you were on this board and some of you weren't, was in 2009, and that budget overestimated listener revenues by close to $600,000. So local control is great, but we also can't lose $600,000 that we don't have by making projections that are not fulfilled. And it is the responsibility of the 501c3 Board of Directors to avoid doing that.
Tracy, please. Thank you. All right. I'm really going to, I know that there are people who want to continue this conversation. I'm going to ask you, please, not to do it. Let us go on. We have a very contentious issue to take up, and then we've got the cab, and we have other things, so we need to move forward. I'm really asking people. I know. It's very hard. Can what do you want, Janet? I'm sure there are many people in the room who want to say something really quick. Okay, go ahead. I can't stop you.
I just wanted to read something from the bylaws, the Pacifica bylaws, and it's the section on the specific powers and duties of the Board of Directors of the Pacifica Foundation. And it says, quote, ensuring, this is part of the specific powers and duties, ensuring the financial health of the foundation by adopting and monitoring an annual budget and overseeing an independent annual audit of the foundation's books and accounts. So KPFA does come up with a budget, but KPFA does not operate as independently of the rest of Pacifica, and it is not looking out for the financial health of the whole foundation. So that's one of the purposes of having the Pacifica National Board and the National Finance Committee.
Okay. Can we move on? Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I know that many people have things to say. Maybe we can converse about them online on the KPFA list. All right, so now we're going back to the resolutions. Oh, yeah, let's take a break. Okay, he says a break. The man next to me is in charge of the agenda. We'll take a 10-minute break now, okay? And then come back to the item on the agenda. Thank you.